This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, straight up top of the hour, wherever you are. So glad that you're joining us, of course. Appreciated that the conversation with Phil, with Johnny B, your perspective. Please believe me, your opinion, your perspective, what's important to you, it's important to me. And, you know, I think we'll start to understand each other and have a greater dialogue as time goes on. But our next guest, you know, there comes a time and there's certain things that people do and certain people who stand up at different scenarios across our life, across our consciousness. And because they do, we feel a little freer. We feel a little, our minds expanded a little bit more because of the sacrifice that they made. And our next guest is no different. Pete Hendrickson, he has suffered a lot for his beliefs. And he, through education, he's a very sharp guy. And he was led on in a little secret. And we'll talk about that story and how he's even started this journey. But he has written a series of books, Cracking the Code. One of them was Grandpa Really a Moron, which I think that's hilarious, and Upholding the Law. I'm just very excited to talk to him and get his perspective. It's tax season coming up about the IRS. Pete, welcome to the Power Hour.
Oh, thank you very much, Dan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yes, it was very interesting talking to you last night and getting to know you and hearing the passion in your voice, the sharpness. I don't know quite how to describe it, but I mean, you are on this subject like white on rice. Why don't you tell a little bit of background for people, for our new listeners who haven't heard this, about your story and how you wrote some of these books, particularly Cracking the Code?
Okay. The issue of, you know, what is the actual truth behind the income tax has been a subject of interest to many, many people over the decades, since the 1940s, basically, when the application of the tax changed dramatically from what it had been during its previous 80 years of operation to what it has been in its most recent 80 years or so of operation. Prior to the early 1940s, on average, during all the years the tax was implemented, fewer than 9% of American households ever filed a tax return. Since the early 1940s, that number has been in the 90th percentile neighborhood. And yet, no change has taken place in the law, no change has taken place in the Constitution, no change has taken place in what is taxable under the income tax. What did change is a public perception, and it was the product of a kind of an elaborate subterfuge on the part of the federal government, which was at that point very hungry for revenue and had kind of come into a sense of confidence in its ability to engineer consent to control the perspective that Americans had. This was during the tumult of World War II. It was at the tail end of, and actually most economists would say still in the tail end of the Great Depression. It was after a number of years of radio becoming the mass communications phenomenon that it was capable of. And the government actors having learned how influential they could be with access to mass media of that kind. It was after the first generation of Americans had been educated in government schools, what we call public schools, and I'm not going to, you know, go off on the school issue, but those are schools in which the content is to a greater or lesser degree controlled or influenced by the one paying the bills. It was after a generation's worth of very, very focused disinformation efforts on the part of the progressives, who were
Let me pause you right there, Pete. We're coming to our first break. I have a pretty good section coming up on the other side. Let's continue with this story and how you became aware of this and just really the history of this, because this is becoming lost. And that, you know, that statistic's about 9%. Whoa, that blew me away when I saw it in your book, Cracking the Code. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind. That's what happened to me. I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me. What a relief when I found out that treatments for some forms of AMD are available and that research is underway on additional preventions and treatments. AMD is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and over. When I started seeing blurry spots in the middle of my eye, I saw my doctor. She suggested I review the prevention and treatment information on fightblindness.org. Did you know that some forms of AMD can be slowed down or stopped, and in some cases reversed if found in time? Get more information about preserving your vision. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website where I found so much helpful information. Fightblindness.org. 1-800-BLINDNESS. 1-800-254-6363 or fightblindness.org.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Over at the Power Mall, we have a series of these books written by Pete Hendrickson. There's three of them. Was Grandpa Really a Moron? I love that. We'll ask Pete about that title. Upholding the Law, which I think all of us would like to finally to see. And then Cracking the Code. Upholding the Law, it comes down to us. Cracking the Code, it's us. These books are so empowering as I'm going through them and talking to Pete. We are talking to Peter Eric Hendrickson, the author of these books, the one who finally cracked the code and really saw what the open secret in plain sight and brought it down to a level everybody could. Go ahead, Josh.
I just want to mention his books are on special at the Power Mall, and they're open. So 877-817-9829. So they're 20% off right now.
Well, tax day is coming up, and celebrate it. You want to do something positive? Celebrate it by buying one of these books.
Yeah.
Because they are just fantastic. Pete, go ahead and you were talking about how before the early 40s, 9% of Americans were filing taxes.
Yeah,
income taxes.
The fact is, up till that time, the nature of the income tax, the actual nature of the income tax, was widely understood in America. No surprise, it was a tax that had been in place for a very long time. It was a very popular tax while it was understood correctly and applied correctly. It was so popular, in fact, that the American people actually amended the Constitution in order to allow it to continue to be imposed. And think about that fact for a minute. You know, the people who don't understand the tax make, you know, try and argue about the issue of the 16th Amendment, and as a consequence, don't recognize the real significance of this event. This was an amendment to the Constitution in order to facilitate the continued application of a tax. Now, there's a reason for that, and this gets to, you know, you were enjoying the title of my third book, Was Grandpa Really a Moron? That question relates to the proposition, the absurd proposition that we are all expected to believe, and particularly right at this time of the year, that our grandparents or great-grandparents, depending on what generation you are, were so crazy, en masse, nationwide, as to impose upon themselves, as to throw out the tax structure, the constitutional tax structure, that had made America the freest and most prosperous country in the history of the world at that time, at the beginning of the 20th century. They were so crazy as to throw that away and transform that structure into one giving the federal government the authority to reach into the pockets of every working person, everyone, every citizen, every American, everyone in the country, at its will, when it had never had that power before. We're expected to believe that our great-grandparents or grandparents were that crazy, were morons.
I've heard a lot about the 16th Amendment. I have never heard it put so succinctly and so clearly. Now, what about the people who say the 16th Amendment was not even ratified? What's your feeling about that?
I've seen all the research on that subject, and there were quirks in the ratification process, but there's a very simple answer to the question of the legitimacy of the ratification. Not a single state. And the quirks, by the way, just for the sake of the audience who may not be familiar with this, some of the quirks suggest that there were punctuation differences in the wording of the amendment that was sent from a state legislature back to Congress for ratification. In a couple of cases, there appears to be situations where the legislatures actually refused to ratify the amendment but were declared to have done so. Those are particularly quirky and just a couple, but more particularly or to the point, not a single state filed a suit contesting the declaration of their state having ratified, as was declared by Philander Knox back in 1913 when all this went down. So obviously, just on the empirical record makes clear that the arguments that the 16th Amendment was not properly ratified, or that there were some sort of substantial or significant misstatements or misrepresentations of the state legislature's decisions, is simply not true. Had any of them been misrepresented, meaningfully misrepresented, the states would have immediately gone to court and said, "Hey, he just said that we ratified that, but we didn't." Someone
Very
would have done
good
that.
Point.
Nobody
Very
did
good
it.
Point.
Nobody did it.
You are making way too much sense, Pete. This is so interesting. Why don't you go ahead and continue where you were? I didn't mean to
okay,
sidetrack
well, we
you
were
there.
Talking about what led to my recognizing the need to research this subject and coming to what I learned. And I was saying that many people had recognized issues with the modern implementation or application of the tax since the 1940s, since this transformational moment took place. And yet it had challenged the tax at that time, ill-equipped to do much good in the effort. The tax code alone, and when I say code, it's important to understand that the actual law that is the actual tax law has been condensed and represented by a code, which is a version of it. It isn't the actual statutes themselves. It's just a version of the statutes, and that alone, and it's condensed for conciseness and ease of use, theoretically.
Wow.
About 3.5 million words. 3.5 million words of text in the current Title 26. It's actually a little higher than that now. It was 3.5 million when I actually counted it, or had my computer counted, back in 2003, I think it was. And of course, you know, more gets added every year or every couple of years. So it's a little bigger than that. The statutes themselves, probably about double that volume, 7 million words or so. It's simply not humanly possible prior to the advent of the computer age to meaningfully research anything in that body of material. It is so huge that if you began the process, it would be 6 months before you had made even a meaningful dent into it, before you'd gone through 20% of it. At that point, you encounter a definition or a term or whatever, the definition of which is maybe 500,000 words, you know, further on in or behind you. It's not possible to take it in and make meaningful sense of it when you're dealing with it in a paper format. It was only after it became digitized and available to be searched by a computer that it became even possible to decipher what was going on in that language. And I had the benefit of that being the case. So I was one of those people that had questioned it. The reason I questioned it is because you look at the Constitution tax structure says very clearly that no capitation can be administered other than by the apportionment mechanism, apportionment being a distribution of the total tax liability that has been calculated amongst the states based on their proportion of the national population, with the states paying the bill. That's how an apportioned tax works. All direct taxes, all capitations and other direct taxes under the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, can only be applied through that apportionment mechanism. So capitations can't be done.
Now, we got a couple minutes left in this segment, and I think that's important. Why don't you, for people listening, you know, 101 here, let's talk about those words, apportionment, direct tax. You know, let's define those and make that real clear for people.
Okay. A direct tax is a tax that the taxing authority imposes on its own, of its own will. It's something, it's like a tribute. It's like the kind of thing a king would do to a subject. I'm going to tax you, you know, give me the money. That's what a direct tax is, directly from the taxing authority. An indirect tax is a tax that relies on the individual who might become liable for it having chosen to do something that causes the liability to arise. And we have two different kinds. We have both, you know, kinds of taxes are authorized under the U.S. Constitution, but they're both subject to certain rules. And the direct taxes, the founders and framers were very tax-leery people. And direct taxes are under a particular kind of discipline. They cannot be applied. There's no authority for the federal government to ever reach directly into the pocket of or impose a tax directly upon any person in this country. There's no circumstance under which that can be done. If the government wants to impose a direct tax, that is to say, you know, impose a tax of its own will, it can only do so by apportioning the tax amongst the various state populations. And in that case, the states themselves are the ones that are made liable for the tax. People are never made liable for a direct tax to the federal government, never. It is the states that are. The states collected in any way that their own constitutions allow, but the federal government can never reach directly into the hand or property or the pocket or property of anybody.
Well, that's certainly a total sea change from what is accepted and where we've come to.
Well, listening to that, and then think about the income tax as you imagine it to operate, and you think, mm-hmm. Pete just described the income tax and said that it can't be done. So what's going on here?
That's a very good question.
And that is right, and that's why when I say the misapplication of the income tax is because the tax has, for the last 75 years, been very systematically misapplied and treated as though, or applied as though, it were a capitation without apportionment, which is, of course, constitutionally impossible. But there's a reason for that. And that's, you know, that's why I had to write a book. To
We're coming on this break. We have a 4-minute break coming up. And misapplied. That's the word of the day, I think, with Pete here. Misapplied. If you have any questions for Pete, we're not going to take calls because we really just want Pete to kind of just let this flow, this information. But if there's something important, email me. Put in the subject tax question. Tax question. Email me powerhourdaniel@gmail.com, and I'll ask some of them to Pete. But very excited to have Pete and the misapplication. Stay tuned.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like your green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, 24 minutes after the hour. Money, that's what we're talking about, the IRS. And there are many different approaches and many different opinions. And Pete has one of them, and his book, Cracking the Code, Was Grandpa Really a Moron? And Upholding the Law, they're all at the Powerball. I love that. I love that title, Pete. they are all at the Power Mall. Give them a call. But these are a perspective. And so these we think that it's important that Pete's message gets out and people make their own decision. So make your own decision. Pete, you're talking about the misapplication and how you specifically became kind of aware of this and a light bulb clicked off in your head.
Yeah, yeah. What I was talking there about before the break was the fact that the Constitution prohibits capitation and other direct taxes without apportionment, and yet we look at the income tax as most people experience it today, and it looks exactly like a capitation being imposed without apportionment. That's exactly what it looks like. And a capitation is, among other things, a tax on undistinguished revenue. It's just a tax on money for having, you know, for coming in. And that appears to be what the income tax is. Now, the income tax isn't actually that. This is why I use the expression misapplication. The tax is not applied in conformity to the laws, the tax laws, as they are written any longer. Because technically it is. It's not that there's an outright fraud being conducted by the government. But the government has created the tax or written the tax with some characteristics that make it very, very easily misunderstood, and then has systematically exploited those misunderstandable characteristics so as to end up with the result that the tax is applied where it doesn't belong. It is applied to earnings and gains that are not actually subject to the tax. And all that being apparent to me back in the mid-1970s, actually, I became very interested in the subject because of that incongruity, because of the apparent application of the tax as a non-apportioned capitation, and yet the Constitution says that can't be done. And so I began studying the subject a bit, kind of went through what at that time would have been the normal run of sort of tax protester type stuff, you know, Irwin Schiff books and things like that, none of which really answered the questions. Some of them, you know, are very passionate, and some contain some good information. All, as it turns out, in the end, don't actually, you know, see the entire forest, don't get the full picture. But as those decades went on, I learned a little bit, but never the complete picture, until finally in the early 2000s, having that the digitization of the material, the statutes and the code come to be, and therefore being able to be searched with a computer and actually dug into effectively, and also it was given the odd gift by an IRS agent actually who. At that time, in the early 2000s, my wife and I had been filing joint returns in a conventional fashion, but with this one exception of a disclaimer that was added to the forms, indicating that while we stood by the numbers of the amounts we had received and so forth, we were not endorsing the characterization of our earnings as income relevant to the tax. And the government had accepted those filings with that disclaimer without any complaint or problem for a number of years. But this one particular return, and I can't recall if it was 2000 or 2001, one of those two, some IRS agent decided that they couldn't process the return with that disclaimer in place. And they wrote back and said, we need you to declare that your earnings qualify as income in the context of the tax. In order to process this return, and a little light bulb started to glow at that point in my head, and I asked myself, if our earnings actually are subject to the tax, nothing that we say or don't say has anything whatsoever to do with the situation. They either are or they aren't, and if they are, we could say no all day long, and it wouldn't change anything legally. And if they aren't, then that'd be the only reason why it would matter whether we said anything or not. So I, at that point, gained the insight that there was a subterfuge in play, that the system was relying on something we set in order to make things operate.
Wow, very good. That agent, he has no idea what the ball he got rolling, does he?
Probably not.
No, we have a quick 3-minute break, and we'll continue with this, and then what you did with that information and where that went, and how a little bit about your process, cracking the code process. At the Power Mall, Pete Hendrickson. Stay tuned. This is Daniel.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired? Family Health and Education Resources wants to help you achieve and maintain good health naturally. Overcome lifestyle diseases with nutrition and natural remedies. Addiction recovery designed to build habits that heal rather than hurt. Communication and relationship building to strengthen family units. Character building and devotional resources for the whole family. We are on a mission to save America one family at a time. Visit NewEnglandFHER.com today. NewEnglandFHER.com.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-972-5856. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-972-5856. That's 1-800-972-5856. 1-800-972-5856.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Welcome back to the Power Hour. If not now, then when? That's what we'd like to know. And we're talking to Pete Hendrickson, and for Pete, it's right now. Cracking the code right now. And before we get back to Pete and his story and the misapplication and that unwitting IRS agent that really changed the whole landscape of the tax education system and Pete's great book, Josh, why don't you make us aware of some specials that we have here?
Yeah, we do have 20% off of a lot of stuff out there right now. Time Challengers, 20% off. The Vitamir toothpaste, absolutely love it. 20% off. 20% off of Strauss hard drops. Pete's books are 20% off. Regular $24.95. You can get them for $19.96. Garden Seed's 20% off. The Sun Air Purifier's got $100 off. And today, I believe, is the last day. Offer ends April 14th. Yeah, to get your free grab and go from Numana with your hydro system purchase.
Yeah, Alan called me up over at the Solar Hydro place and said, let's do a special food and water.
Yeah.
I go, wow, I love it. It makes sense.
What a awesome combination.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you get a free bucket if you buy a Solar Hydro water pack.
That is awesome. Give them a call. They are out there right now, 877-817-9829. That is 877-817-9829. And before I hand it back over, I wanted to mention that there is a clay special going on this month. And it's only for this month, and it is, let's see, 1 pound of dry clay is regularly $20.39, and is on sale for $14 this month only.
Wow, that's a great a great special.
Give them a call out at the Power Mall.
And we're creating specials like that, you know, our monthly. This is kind of our big special. I mean, the clay spent $14, that's a great price. So give them a call, and buy from the good guys, and bless your life, and support us at the same time, and we appreciate it very much. So getting back to Pete. Pete, you were sparked with this new sense of urgency or information or what have you, and so what did that do for you, and where did it go, and what did you do from there?
Yeah, well, you know, pretty simple story from that point forward, Dan. I was indeed given an insight by that refusal of the government to process our return without us actually endorsing the proposition that our earnings qualified for the tax, and the tax then being in digital form, the code then being in a digital format, so that I could actually do the research and tear through those 3.5 million words effectively, allowed me to discover what the tax really is and how its true nature has been concealed. And how that concealment has been exploited over the past 75 years to apply the tax to earnings that don't actually qualify, and those are the earnings of most Americans, far away the majority of earnings in this country. So, you know, while there may be perhaps as many as 30 million people who do actually engage in taxable activities to a sufficient degree to owe the income tax each year, there are 300 million that don't.
Okay, we are waiting. We are waiting with bated breath. I mean, probably on the. I'm on the edge of my seat here. What is the true nature of the tax, as far as you could figure out?
In the simplest, the nature of it is in the name of the thing. It's a federal income tax. It's an excise tax on federally connected earnings, a federal income. It's really that simple. If someone has made use of a federal privilege, which is to say, the federal, you know, an access to federal property for a gainful purpose, making money, performing the functions of a public office, doing any of the things that can only be done because of the existence of the federal government, and that doesn't mean you know, the existence of the federal government as a defense mechanism or as a, you know, printer of currency or anything like that. It means because there is one, and, you know, that one time there was not one, and anything that can only be done because the federal government, because you're using federal property, things that belong to the federal government, or the powers that were specifically delegated to the federal government. If you make money doing those things, you can be liable for the tax, or the tax can be applied to those gains. I mean, it isn't applied to all of them, by the way. Just because something, you know, is potentially taxable doesn't mean that it's been taxed. But it is only those things that are capable of being taxed by the federal government.
What if somebody, you know, played devil's advocate on the other side, said, "Well, you use federal highways to make money."
Yeah, but you're not exploiting those the highway, the existence of those highways as a money-making affair in the sense that's relevant to the tax. And yeah, this can seem a little quirky in that sense. That's why I said the thing about, you know, the fact that the federal government, you know, prints currency and we use the currency, you know, in our day-to-day activities. That in and of itself is not the exploitation of a federal privilege in the sense of tax. Within the tax code, all of the things are identified in one way or another.
How does that apply to state income tax then?
The states uniformly piggyback on the federal government. Back in the late 1930s, under the Public Salary Tax Act, the federal government gave the states permission to take a part of its tax, to apply its own version of the tax to the same activities that the federal government was able to tax, because they are federally connected activities. And state income taxes are just exactly that, which is why if you look at you know, your state tax forms, the starting point on a state tax form is what you arrived at on your federal tax form in terms of the income amount.
Okay, so what does this mean for the average person? Because
for the average person, it means that they've been paying a huge, huge amount of their wealth to government agencies that don't actually have any claim to it at all. State and federal, in some cases local. And they've been doing it not because they've been the victims of a crime. They've been doing it because they're the victims of their failure to understand the nature of the tax and the fact that that misunderstanding is cultivated, diligently encouraged by these revenue-hungry governments who want every penny that they can get their hands on in any way possible. And they're very settled in their comfort zone of letting people and encouraging people to improperly or in ignorance declare their earnings to qualify for the tax, declare their earnings to be income. And at this point, I'm going to add scare quotes around the term income, because it's really important for people to understand that income in the context of the tax law is a subclass of what we think of as income in common usage, in common speech. In common speech, we think of income as meaning all that comes in. You look at the dictionary, that's going to be, you know, one version of the definition you're going to find in a standard dictionary. In tax law, income only means the part of what comes in that is federally taxable. So it's only the part of it that, as I said in the very beginning when we started talking about this definition, the federal income. That's what income means. And the federal is often left off the term when it's being used in the law and court rulings and by the IRS and by your tax attorney and by your CPA. They just use the term income. They just say income. It's up to each individual to understand and remember that when that term is being used, it doesn't mean the dictionary definition of it. It means the tax context definition. So it's the income with the scare quotes around it. So,
okay.
People are encouraged.
I think, Pete, I think you've made about 100,000 people across America totally ears perk up, but at the same time, now in the back of their mind, they're thinking, oh, that'll never work. What is he talking about? Is he crazy?
Let me address that. Readers of Cracking the Code over the course of 13 years now since the book was first published have recovered billions, that's billions with a B,
whoa,
of money, of dollars, from federal and 36 whoa, state governments. Of amounts that have been withheld or paid in that should not have been, and were only withheld or paid in under the misapplication or misunderstanding of the tax. And they've been doing this for 13 years continuously, day in and day out. Hundreds of thousands of complete refunds. And this includes Social Security and Medicare taxes, by the way, which are just income taxes under their own special little names. So the proof of the pudding is in the tasting, and the tasting is good.
Now, and the taste is good. I've heard a lot of people talk about tax. I've heard tax theories, and I've heard, you know, obviously I'm fairly familiar with the Constitution, and it just turns it on its head, the idea of a direct tax like you've detailed. How would somebody go about even begin to enforce this in their life and stand where, really, where our grandfather stood, our great-grandfather stood?
It's the simplest thing in the world. I encourage everyone, you know, go to losthorizons.com. That's my website. At that site, for one thing, you can see about 1,200 examples of those hundreds of thousands of refunds that are posted, complete, including the documentation of the filing that was made to secure them. In some cases, there have been, you know, been a number of episodes in which governments have resisted what I call educated filings, reclaiming improperly withheld or paid in amounts. Those episodes are fascinating and particularly telling because they end with the, you know, after in some cases even a protracted battle, they end with the surrender of the government and the issuing of the check or the closing notice or whatever else is proper. You can see all those things. You can see the filings. You can see all the information. Read Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America, and you learn how the actual language of the tax is misapplied, how it is that people come to assist the misapplication of the tax through not understanding its nature and by being sucked in through the tax law's use of customized terms that mimic common words. Like, for instance, in tax law, the term wages, the term employment, the terms trade or business, these are all custom-defined terms. They don't have the meanings that they have, that their homonyms have in common usage. They have specialized meanings in tax law, and they're given specialized definitions. The statutes include specific definitions for these terms that are different from normal usage. But the government is not big on informing people of the fact that these terms actually bear special definitions when they appear in IRS forms and in court rulings and so forth. So everyone is left ignorant of the fact that the things being spoken of when those terms appear are not the things that they're accustomed to thinking of when they see those words. So there are some tricks that are being taken advantage of, and that's the thing that allows the misapplication of the tax. And everyone needs to understand these things. They're not incredibly complicated. I was able to explain the entire package, including some soliloquizing as to why it's important that we all know this and act on it in a 256-page book. It's a little bit of a dense read, I'll grant that. But nonetheless, it didn't require thousands of pages to make this clear.
Well, let me just say, I was reading the book last night before I went to bed, and it didn't. I stayed up way longer than I was expecting. Let's put it that way. I mean, it kept me up. I mean, it's not a page turner is like Tom Clancy page turner, but it was very interesting to me. But you brought about the point why we should know this. Why is this important? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay, yeah, that's really critical, and especially right now, with tax day, quote unquote, coming up. The founders of this country established a republic, and they established one that was focused on individual liberty as the goal, as the object of government, as is stated very succinctly and clearly in the Declaration of Independence. They recognized, understood, being deep students of history and politics and human nature, they understood that the only way that a republic can be maintained and liberty can be preserved is if power is diffused, if power is not allowed to or able to concentrate in any one place. And so they set up a structure intended to ensure that would happen, that the power would be diffused, that it would remain with the people and not accrete into a centralized place like Washington or the state houses. And part of one of the main functions or design features that they put in place in the Constitution in order to ensure that power would remain diffused like that were the taxing clauses. They rely on individual Americans to operate, to look out for their own interests and to regulate the size of the state by not allowing the state access to resources beyond what suits their own individual purposes and their own individual needs. And we as Americans need to apply that process. We need to make use of those mechanisms that the framers provided for us. That's the key to our preservation of our liberties and our ability to pass those precious liberties on to our children.
I think that's a very, very good description, and it really hit home to me. I was looking through the information that you emailed me about the LostHorizons.com, the hockey stick. Now, Al Gore has a hockey stick, excuse me, when it comes to global warming. It made me choke up a little bit. Hard to get that out. But this is a real hockey stick talking about government, really proliferation of government and the tax compliance.
Yeah, the chart you're referring to is a measurement or a chart indicating the size of the federal government over the from 1797 to 2004, and it is absolutely a hockey stick. For the first 140 years of that period, first 140 years of our existence, the size of the federal government is represented on the graph as a flat line. During that period of time, with the exception of two blips for the war between the states and the First World War, two relatively small blips, by the way, in the context, the total absorption of GDP of all forms of government in the country, federal, state, and local combined, was below 10% of GDP. And it is represented on the chart as a flat line. It's the length of the hockey stick. But in 1943, that line turns north. It turns up. It turns into a 60-degree incline and has remained that way ever since, as government has grown from a servant of the people, small, efficient, lean, appropriate and proper, as intended by the founders and the framers, into Leviathan, into this 800, maybe 8 zillion pound behemoth that now absorbs 50% of the wealth produced by hardworking Americans.
Oh, my word. 50%? Oh, my goodness. Wow. We're coming to the last break for this interview. Pete, we'll get on the other side. We'll get some concluding thoughts. We have a couple questions from our great listeners. 50%? From 10% to 50? My word. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. This is Daniel.
And Josh.
And Pete.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
A shoulder break or retreat at every time. peace and the fear that the truth had discovered. No telling how all this will work out, but I've come too far to go back now. I am looking for freedom, looking for freedom.
Ooh, I love that. Freedom, that is good. Freedom. That's what we all want. And the, really, the truth is what sets us free. And Pete Hendricks, he has stumbled on what he believes is the truth. In fact, cracking the code of something that just baffles people to no end. We got a couple questions from our great audience, Pete. What about revocation of election? Does revocation of election work? And kind of briefly, what is that?
Revocation of election is a concept that some people in what might be called the tax honesty movement, quote unquote, promote as a way of being free of the tax without actually doing anything meaningful that is involved in that, in being free. It's based on a misunderstanding of the election concept that is built into tax law, providing for resident aliens to be treated as though they are citizens. There is an election that can be made under a portion of the law that allows them to get access to the personal exemption, which otherwise is denied to aliens under tax law. And that's all the election is about. Revoking it doesn't make any difference because the application of the tax is not dependent on one's citizenship status. The tax is equally applied to citizens, non-citizens, residents, non-residents. Doesn't make any difference. All that matters is whether you did taxable things.
Very good. Okay, another question. Can you get refunded for the taxes that you have paid?
Yes, every penny. Nominal federal income tax, Social Security, Medicare, state income tax, local income tax, everything and all of it. For the past 3 years of payment, there is a point at which the law treats it as you have abandoned your claims once a sufficient amount of time has gone by. So 3 years is the effective limit.
Well, I've heard a lot of people talk about taxes. I have never seen somebody provide checks, provide evidence of literally billions of dollars that have been returned. And Cracking the Code is the book. LostHorizons.com is the website. Was Grandpa Really a Moron? And Upholding the Law, all at the Power Mall. We have just a couple minutes left. Why don't you go ahead and conclude this?
I will. Thank you, Daniel. I was going on a little bit before the last break about the founders' structure, what they set up, and their intentions. And their intentions were for Americans to be free. They did not intend for Americans to be the subjects of a government or even subordinate to a government. They intended for Americans to be free individuals whose government was created exclusively to protect their individual sovereignty and their individual rights. When we adhered to that concept in this country for that first 140 years that I spoke of earlier, we were the freest people in the history of the world and the most prosperous people in the history of the world. We're now the world's greatest debtor, history's greatest debtor. And we are a long, long ways from being as free as we were when I was a kid, even, much less as we were in the beginning of our nation. It's in large part because each of us have stopped enforcing our laws. We've stopped enforcing our Constitution. We've stopped standing up for the provisions of the...
Well, very good. And you have certainly stood, Pete. And we appreciate you, man. God bless Pete. It goes Pete Henderson, Cracking the Code, over at the Power Mall now. And we got a special... we have a special guest coming up. It's a little truth serum, just real quick, with Sherry Edwards. Well, Sharon...